Club in Lexington, Kentucky, home of the Veal Special. And comedy specials every night, two shows, including Beer Man and Brad Taylor on tonight's Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to week number 9. I am your main host, Dead Air Dennis, and that's just because, out of default, because I'm always right. Go ahead, boys, talk amongst yourselves, and then I'll give everybody the wins.
Main host. Using that term, main host, very loosely.
To the right of me, Brad Taylor.
It means he's from Banger.
To the left of me, yes. Beer Man.
Yes.
Hello.
Fellas, how we doing?
Ah, great.
Doing great, yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's always good when you walk out of the sports book on a late night Monday to Tuesday morning, a little extra money than you had when you walked in there.
Right? Some people sweat when they unlock the car door to go home. That's because they just lost a lot of money and they don't know how they're going to explain it to their significant others. Other people sweat because their pockets are so dang heavy.
That's why you don't tell the significant others that you're gambling, because that can cause issues and problems.
Or you just don't have a significant other. Problem solved.
That works as well.
And with that introduction, Beer Man, everyone.
So just to let the people know that we are actually making them money.
Yes.
Week 8, Dead Air Dennis finished 8-7. Beer Man finished 9-6. I believe that's a season best.
Wow.
And Brad Taylor finished 9-6.
Wow. You guys beat me? Was that according to the podcast or according to our picks in the ESPN?
That's according to the podcast.
Okay.
Because in the ESPN picks, I believe you won by one game.
I had a really good week in one of those leagues.
But we don't give the people the ESPN picks, so it's hard to.
Yeah.
Because they're flawed logic. This is where a man is a man. It comes straight out of your mouth. It's not, you know, something that you make up conjecture in your mind, Dennis Dillon. It is something that you could actually hear for yourself. And that's when you just like to put your hands around and take it to the window, because Brad Taylor of ESPN Radio told me this was a Mac Daddy Stogie.
I feel the flames you're spewing there, Godzilla, and you're right. It is a little warm in here right now. To do this on a Tuesday is tough for me. I've never really...
It would be tough considering it's a Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah, it's already been a long week.
Oh, what is today?
That's what I'm telling you. I wake up on Sunday mornings.
Is it daylight savings time? Yes, hello. Then our dentist and I had an argument earlier about daylight savings time, and I think we both lost that argument. I don't know how that happened.
I forgot what the argument was.
I did too. We were arguing. We're like, we're both right. We're both wrong. Yeah.
Was that earlier today on Monday?
Yes, exactly. It was, it was July 4th. We were setting off fireworks and having that conversation. So, Eddie, let's talk enough silliness.
Oh, my God.
That was my bag of information and legend over here.
I thought that was your Godzilla tail under the desk there, swinging to the left and right.
NFL, enough of your silliness, Dillon.
It's a good-looking tail.
If that's your real, that's what she said. NFL football. Did we learn anything during week 8 other than the fact that Beerman and I make you quite a bit of money on this show? Did we learn anything in the league? What kind of stuck out to you? Beerman, I'll start with you because I tend to think it might be Bears related.
What are you talking? The Bears have an offense.
They didn't have a defense.
Well, that was a little rough. And
have even less of it now.
We traded away our two best defenders. But
you got a receiver.
I know. I'm very happy with you know what? I'm happy the direction that the Bears are going. It's not a Super Bowl year, but we're growing.
Are you done yet?
I'm done. Take it over.
Popovich, are you done?
Y'all are dicks.
What? Oh, I think that you do. I think that you should be happy that the Bears are trending in the right direction. Chase Claypool is a good receiver.
Well, but I would say this. For a 20-point loss, I'm pretty happy walking away from that game. I like the direction that we're going.
They lost by 20 points?
They caught up to within 5, and then Dallas kind of rolled.
God, that is awful. You're right.
But how do you have a 20-point loss and you walk away going, okay, all right, I see it.
Don't know how you do that.
I see it going the right direction.
How do you look at yourself in the mirror, man?
You're the king of justification for your terrible team. That's awesome.
I thought you were tanking until you traded for Claypool. I thought you were just going to trade everybody.
I do. I kind of think we are tanking a little bit. It takes a receiver and a quarterback a little time to gel together. So by
how
week
long does it
one,
take for a quarterback and a receiver and an offensive tackle and an offensive right tackle and the tight end, and then
that takes some time.
It takes some time, doesn't it?
But yeah, week one next year, Justin Fields, Chase Claypool, they're going to be solid.
Can we talk about how Joe Burrow still hasn't beaten the Cleveland Browns? Man, the Browns were up for that game, weren't they? I mean, the Browns just really looked good. But I also found out that the offensive analyst for the Bengals, Mike Zimmer's son, passed away earlier that day. And I wonder if that didn't play into it a little bit. I don't, you know, bottom line, Bengals looked terrible on Monday night. So hopefully they'll pick it up this week, but I might have a surprise upset for you.
Oh, a surprise, ladies and gentlemen. Is he saying Carolina Panthers?
All of my picks are going to be a surprise to me.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know what mine are yet either.
I'm sitting with radio professionals, ladies and gentlemen. The radio tease coming at you like never before. All I learned this weekend was just keep grinding, baby. Just keep grinding away. Just keep doing it. I know people, they lose a few bets. Oh, I got to bet less. Oh, I'm not going to bet. You know, Dennis didn't bet for months, I think, back during the summer. Oh, I'm not going to bet anymore. You just got to keep going. Every day, get up.
I tell you, though? That's not 100% there.
Okay.
I told you I was going to ease into the season.
There you go.
And I'm eased in.
And now you're warmed up.
Now
you're throwing the heat.
Put me in, coach.
Put me in cold. There's another. You talk about a podcast.
I knew you were going to say that.
You talk about a debate. It's put me in cold. I'm ready to play. That's the center field, John Fogerty.
Put me in cold.
It's cold.
It's not cold.
I'm ready to play.
I can show you proof. I have had this argument with him. I need to get some true rock and roll scholars. Apparently, you guys are not on my side, so I don't consider you scholars. But I can find people and things on the internets where...
Oh, and everything on the internet is
absolutely
accurate.
Absolutely, of course.
Factual.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure it's put me in coach.
You hit him high, I'll hit him low.
There is no coach in baseball. It's a manager. Put me in cold. I'm ready.
You know what? There's no speedball, and yet Bruce Springsteen put that in a song, too.
Oh, there's a speedball, all right.
Well,
yes, there is.
Not the kind he was referring to.
Or unless he was referring to it. But
well,
yeah.
Maybe he was.
How'd you do today? Nettles got me bottom of the ninth.
But not that we would ever digress on this podcast.
Let's get to football. Enough of your silliness, all of you crazy people.
Is this not a bye week for all the teams?
It is a bye week for plenty of teams. We've got Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, Giants, Pittsburgh, and San Francisco, all on bye weeks. So check your fantasy lineups, if applicable.
Well, Cleveland's going to enjoy theirs after that whipping on the Bengals, though. That's all I got to say about that.
I got 14 players on my fantasy team, and yet every week I seem to have about 7 people on bye for like the last 4 weeks. I'm like, what the?
Well, I just talked to my good friend Lynn Martin here at LM Communications, and he talks to me. I gave him 4 picks on Sunday. Teams that I thought might cover the spread, maybe. And the only one he brought up was the one that did not. He didn't mention the 3. He only mentioned the 1.
That's mm-hmm. thanks for you.
That's thanks for
it
you.
It is so, gratitude.
But you're falling into that, too, Beer Man. Oh, I don't remember the good weeks. I just remember that one bad week. You know. So, you know, Kentucky basketball, 38-1. We don't remember those 38. We all remember that 1.
Was that Wisconsin?
Exactly. You don't remember any of the 38, but you remember that 1, don't you? Exactly.
Not that we would ever digress on this podcast.
Let's get to football. Thursday night football. We're going to start with you, Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
Since you're being Dylan.
Sure.
Did we do the intro? Sure. Should we start that? We'll start
sure.
with that?
Not that we would ever digress on this podcast.
Yeah, welcome.
Let's go ahead and do the podcast open.
Wait, I'm not even recording this. Oh, we got to start over. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Houston Texans, Jalen Hurts and Davis Mills, 2 quarterbacks of equal value in no league whatsoever. The Eagles right now, a 14-point favorite, total 45. We're going to start with you, Dylan.
Yeah, I'm taking the Texans in this one. Why not? Short week, Thursday night game. Anything can happen. Halloween week. I've seen it already this week. So let's bring on Davis Mills. Bring on Brandon Cooks, who's not happy that he's there. Watch him feed him the ball. Watch him put up about 250 yards on the ground, through the air and on the ground, and score 3 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks has a huge game, and Philadelphia doesn't have an answer for him, but they do win. Texans cover.
So 45 points as the over-under, and the line is 14. That seems like a low, middle-of-the-line over under, but
not a lot of wiggle room there.
Yeah, not at all. And
so all you know, Houston has to do is score 17
right.
points.
Not a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah.
Houston gets 14-17. You're looking good. Yeah.
I like Philly, but it seems like they've had tough game after tough game lately. Not it just on paper, they've obviously walloped some people. I think they're going to underestimate Houston just slightly, and I'll take the 14 in Houston.
Mac Daddy Stogie, best bet. Give me the Texans 14. I'm not going to lay 14 with anybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'll take the Texans 14, and I kind of like you. I'm going to take the under here. I'm going to take the under 45. I like I don't know if you said you liked the under, but, I mean, we talked about the total. I like the under the total here. I don't think Philly's going to put up 30. But I certainly don't think Houston's going to put up 20 themselves. So, yeah, I'm taking the under. Two best bets there for me, Texans and the under. Well, we'll take the Texans at the points. Let's go to Sunday. First game on the list, and we'll do this for the beer man, the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback, against the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. Dolphins, 5-point favorite in this one. Total 45.5, beer man. Go ahead and talk about Justin Fields being the next Michael Vick.
If I'm not mistaken, the line on the Vikings game last week. Never mind, that was Arizona. I was thinking that was against Miami. My bad. I'm working too many weeks in a row. They played Detroit last week, didn't they? That sounds.
Minnesota played Arizona.
Yeah, and Detroit and Miami played.
Yeah.
I knew they were in division. Yeah, I like the direction that the Bears are going, but they also traded away their two best defenders. I'm going to go with Miami because they added an incredible pass rusher, and our offensive line is still kind of garbage.
Not so fast, beer man.
Are you taking the Bears?
I'm taking the Bears.
Wow. Ah.
You lose a couple of players. Guess what? Everybody else steps up. You know why? Neither do I. But they're going to do it. That's what happens. You ever notice this?
It's true.
Teams trade away, their star player, and everybody else picks up it somehow. You see it in every sport too. Baseball.
Patrick Ewing theory is how this all started. When Patrick Ewing got injured for the Knicks back in the 90s, and he was basically all they had, but they were getting ready to go in the playoffs, and they were a high seed. Oh, we're screwed now. And then they just run through the playoffs without him, basically because hey, we got to show the world we're not just about Patrick Ewing. It's all of us can play too. So it's kind of a, rally the troops kind of thing. It's a very good point because that happens in all these sports where you see the star leave and then you see – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you see the star leave and you see that all the time, yeah.
I'm not convinced that Miami is the team that everybody thinks they are either. I mean, Miami struggled against Pittsburgh offensively. They had a decent game against Detroit last week, but Detroit has a terrible defense. Chicago does not. Chicago is going to put up a game. They're going to put up a fight. They're going to prove that they're still something. They're still alive. And listen, every week, I said this last week, they give Justin Fields just a little bit more every week, and he's stepping up, and he's learning, and he's gaining traction. Give me the Bears and the points. Maybe even an upset special.
Chase Claypool play this week?
For the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, for the Bears.
Oh, will he play for the Bears this week? He can, yeah.
No, I know he can. Do you think he will?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't see why not. They can throw him a few plays out there.
They'll run him out for a few.
Yeah.
My guess, yeah.
I hate to agree with you on this. I think I'm going to take the Bears in the 5, too. I don't feel great about it, but I also feel very good about the under here. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I think Chicago will bring Miami down to their level, and we've seen Chicago, especially at home this year. They haven't been a very good offensive team. Although, yes, they killed Dallas last week. They also gave up 49. But this
The Bears are still not good with a pass rush, and Miami had a decent pass rusher. They just added a great pass rusher Bradley Chubb.
A lot of the early money came in on Miami here.
Yeah.
That makes me want to go towards Chicago. So I'll take the Bears getting the points here. Next game. Let's go to the jungle.
What's the over-under on that game?
45.5.
See, I would probably lean toward the over in that one.
Oh, the Riverside bet there. Yeah. Little bucket of pride. Let's go to the jungle. Carolina Panthers. Cincinnati Bengals. Dead Air Dennis Dillon has teased this game in the little shindig that we do before this show really starts. PJ Walker, Joe Burrow. 7.5, the Bengals are favored. 42.5 the total. Dennis Dillon, show us what your big secret probation pick was here.
You know, the Bengals have played well against the other teams from the South. You know, three of their four wins come against Atlanta, New Orleans, and somebody else that I was just distracted by. But, the Bengals have problems right now. Their young secondary that's going to have to step up to replace Chidobe Awuzie and some other injuries. The Bengals just haven't been on firm ground all season long. There's always been something that's been there that's unsettled, and they're struggling, and they're struggling more now than they're just trying to get to their bye week, which will be week 10 next week. So I want the Panthers in this game. I think the Panthers had a little bit of life this past week. The PJ to DJ connection looked real, and if Carolina can throw the ball, they're going to give Cincinnati some fits, so I'll take all those points, yeah. Maybe, I hate to say it because Cincinnati's only played a handful of games at home this year, but I could see Carolina winning this game.
Carolina, in reality, should not have covered that game last week. A Hail Mary is the only thing that gets them to overtime after a blown extra point. Brad's got his rule to live by that if it's double digits, he's taking the points. One of mine is if a really good team gets embarrassed, they're going to play gangbusters the following week. So I think Cincinnati got a little bit embarrassed against Cleveland. A little bit embarrassed.
I think they got a lot of bit embarrassed, but listen, it's a short week.
I agree, it's a short week, but Carolina, I've said before, they could be the worst team in the NFL. They're kind of playing off their skis a little bit. I'll take Cincinnati and lay the 7.5 in this one.
Carolina Panthers have won two games have covered two games in a row. How long does that Patrick Ewing theory last, though? Because eventually, you are who you are. You get the fast start without your stars, but they're a 2-6 team with P.J. Walker at quarterback, and you've got the two quarterbacks that you wanted to play. They're not playing. I think the Bengals roll here. Going into a bye week, I think you're going to see a team, like you said, coming off an embarrassment on Monday Night Football. You always like to kind of look at those teams. I think Bengals roll here in this one.
I hope you're right.
And they cover it, and I'll take the Bengals minus the 7.5 in this one. Next game. Indianapolis Colts, New England Patriots. Mac Jones against Sam Ehlinger. 5.5 is the line here. With the Patriots favorite at home. Total 39.5. That's a low one. Beer man.
New England, I thought, should have been significantly better last week than what they were. Indianapolis was kind of what you thought they were. New England doesn't seem to have two bad weeks in a row. Of course, they don't seem to have two good weeks in a row either. I'll lay the 5.5. I don't feel great about it, but I'll take the Patriots in this one.
Mac Jones. This is going to be Brad's Mac Stogie, I feel like. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. Give me your Brad Taylor picks of the week.
Where have I heard that phrase before? Yeah, I wonder where. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak, your huddled masses.
I'm all over Indianapolis in this game. I know the kid quarterback. You know, he's got some mobility, though, and Indianapolis, that offensive line hasn't had a chance to they've not had a quarterback like that. They had Matt Ryan, who's out to pasture now, and Carson Wentz last year, and Phillip Rivers the year before that. This kid's going to show him something. He's got something to prove. He's athletic. He's going to be good for them. I think they go to Foxborough, and I think they cover the spread. And again, man, I mean, I think there's some upsets coming this weekend, and that could be another one of them.
One of the prop picks that I sent you guys was Ehlinger over 25 yards rushing. You know, one of these guys that's his first NFL games, never thrown an NFL pass. He would be inclined to pull it down and go. He ran for 21 yards. So I don't know how.
First game.
First game, but that's where you would typically be like, just take the ball and run. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's going to do that in this game.
Jets totally outplayed New England last week. You look at the numbers. Their yards per play, much better than the Patriots were. Yards per play on the season, both these teams, Indy, New England, they're right there, right in the middle, both of them. You're going to give me 5.5 in the Colts. I don't care if I do have a rookie quarterback on the road. Yeah, I like the Colts here. Definitely. Mac Daddy Stogie-ish, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I'll take them as a Mac Daddy Stogie in this one, the Colts.
Belichick doesn't really get beat by young first-year, second-year quarterbacks, though.
He can confuse them. There's no doubt about that.
And you're getting, but I'm gonna. I'll take the 5.5 here. Okay. If you were giving me 3, I might think about. I might be the other way. But the fact that it's almost a touchdown, I'll take those 5.5.
And this is an atypical Belichick year too. I mean, you can't compare this to the years of the past with Coach Bill. I mean, it's a different team, and they haven't looked that good. They really haven't. And now they're going into the only thing that scares me is that they're going into their bye this week. So I know they would love to squeeze out a win and then take the week off. See what happens. But, again, I'm taking Indianapolis.
Next game. Buffalo Bills, New York Jets. Josh Allen against Zach Wilson. Not exactly a matchup for the ages. Buffalo currently 12.5-point favorite, 46.5-point total, Dennis.
This one's tough for me. And I know, obviously, if it's double digits, I know where you're going with this one, Brad. Not to – you know, bury the lead or anything.
Spoiler alert. Thank you so much.
You're self-confessed on this one. You state this every time. That doesn't hold for me. I just think the Bills are going to roll in this game. I know the Jets, they have their moments. They've got a young defense that's starting to bud a little bit. But I still, it's Buffalo, man. You know, they've got, who'd they get from Indianapolis?
Oh,
Nyheim Hines, the running back. That's a quirky curiosity, but
they have 3 running backs on that roster now that are great catching
4
running backs. Well, great catching running backs. The other one, if he's in, you know he's running. But they've got 3 that you never know if they're going to run or if they're going to go out to receive.
I mean, I guess it's impressive, you know, if, like Pokemon, if you can collect them all. But you know, it doesn't impress me that much. I just think Buffalo covers this spread. That's where I'm going to go. Here, man.
Believe it or not, I kind of agree with you, and I don't like to do that because it's a divisional game. But, you know, they beat Green Bay last week by 10, and the spread was 10.5.
And they were just toying with
And them. They didn't play in the second half, it seemed. I mean, I heard some commentators that were basically saying, you know, Buffalo just kind of looked a little lost the second half. I don't think they looked lost. I think they knew exactly what they were doing, and they were just like, we got this one in hand, just kick back and relax. I am concerned if they do that in this one, but I think that they'll take advantage of the young defense and cover the 12.5, and I hate that, but yeah, I'm giving the points.
In the last 20 years, when you see a home underdog of double digits, those teams have covered 57.3% of the time. 67 up, 50 down. Oh, you made 57%. Oh, that's nothing. Uh-huh. I'll take 57% the rest of my life, and I'll be doing just fine. You won't be seeing me on these microphones. I'll be out on a yacht somewhere calling you clowns saying, huh, wonder how the poor people are doing today. Yeah, Judge Smales here. how's the caddy scholarship going, Noonan? Yeah, give me the dog here. Give me – what game are we talking about? Give me the Jets – or who are we talking about?
Jets,
give me
the
Jets.
Bills.
Give me Zach Wilson and the Jets. No matter what, I'm taking the double-digit home dogs. Return to sender. You got a problem with that, Dylan?
This guy.
What? You're just a player hater.
Oh, I just love it. It's fun.
It's a lot of fun when you're winning. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to the next game. Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins. The Washington Commodes. Taylor Heineke still the quarterback. A lot of buzz around Washington. They're about to be sold, finally. And maybe Elon Musk will be the owner of the Washington team by the time you hear us next season.
Then they'll be the Washington Twitters.
There you go. Hey, that's a perfect name.
Not bad.
Vikings, 3.5-point favorite here. Total, 43.5. I think Beerman is up.
Minnesota had one of the best trade deadline acquisitions that you can imagine. T.J. Hockensmith, yeah, is averaging 15 points per play.
Did you say T.J. Hassenpfeffer?
You know what I'm talking about. He's averaging 15 yards per play. That's exactly what Minnesota needs. Their tight end was somewhat weak. I think that's a nice little boost. I don't know how much he's going to be able to play this week, but they'll throw some plays in for him.
Yeah, but he did have that. T.J. Hackisack did have that one.
he had that in the back pocket. He was waiting for you to finish because he's like, I got Hackisack.
I got to hit it while it's still fresh.
T.J. Popovich.
He had that one game where he had like 230 catch yards and 3 touchdowns.
I like Heinicke. I think he should be starting for that team anyway, but I do think it's been a lot of smoke and mirrors for that team this year. I'm taking the Vikings.
I don't believe in the smoke and mirrors with Washington, but I do believe in the drama and the confusion and the commotion that's happening, the commotion with the common. What are they calling? I've heard so many people
Commanders,
call it.
Commanders, Commandos, Commodes, whatever. The Washington football team.
Commies. I've heard commies. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's
stupid team.
This is turning into a stay away. Early on this week, I liked Washington, but now I think it's maybe a stay away because, man, anytime that much drama starts seeping into an organization, it's just not good. Not good for the players, especially.
Minnesota Vikings 6-1. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wait, are you taking Minnesota or Washington?
I guess I do it. Where's the game being played?
Washington.
Is it? You know what? Screw it. Give me Washington.
Write that down. Screw it. Give me Washington. That is handicapping knowledge, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how you do it.
Screw it. Give me Washington. That's how you take these to the bank.
That's going
to
be the forward in my book.
Speaking of the sports book, I'm with you, Dead Air Dennis Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking the commodes.
Come on aboard.
Step on in, boys. The water's fine. It's okay. Minnesota, 6-1. 31st easiest schedule. Well, you know, they're next to last in terms of strength of schedule. Negative yards per play margin. That's down in the 20s. Are they really that good? Is Minnesota really that good? They've got a 3-game lead in their division. Are they really pressing to win this game? I'm not so sure. And I think that the Washington team is happy that the ownership is not really there. So, yeah, I think I want to take the commodes getting the 3.5 here. One of my favorite bets of the week. I'll take that one.
I'll also throw this back in, too. The Zimmer kid that passed away this past year, son of Mike Zimmer, their former coach. Aaron Zimmer, I think Aaron was his name, was also a coach with Minnesota. So there could be an emotional tie-in, too. There's just too much emotionally going on. So stay away from this game. Do not put the college bankroll on this game.
We put the college bankroll on every game. Just let it ride. That's what we do. Let's go to the next game. An NFC North matchup, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff of Detroit. In Detroit, 3.5-point favorite are the Packers. Total 49.5. It's a big total. I think we're at Dennis.
You know, I think I have to take Green Bay in this game. I don't want to. I don't like it. But that Detroit defense is just deplorable. And I didn't think they were going to be that bad. The offense has shown some spark. I mean, it's really hard to think that going back to week 3, that they had the number one scoring offense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then they followed that up with a goose egg. And then the next week they laid 3 points on the board, and that was it. And then I don't know what they've done the last couple of weeks, but other than lose. You know, something's happening, and it ain't good. So, Dan Campbell, welcome to the hot seat. I'm taking Green Bay. It just seems like an easy spot for Aaron Rodgers to revisit the past, a place where he's been a lot and won a lot of games.
A lot of Aaron Rodgers' favorite receivers, if you can call it that, Cobbs was out, Lazard was out. So he kind of had to go to the kids. And I think Dobbs made one hell of a catch.
Oh, that was a beauty.
In that game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's the kind of stuff that Rodgers needs to see to feel a little bit more comfortable with some of those younger guys. 3.5 in Detroit, even though they play a little bit better at home, doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. So normally I'd go the other direction, but I'm going to take Green Bay in this one. I feel like I don't think Green Bay's a good team. I think they're an average team, but I do think that this is a good situation for them to somewhat right the ship.
One of the commentators made a point in last week's Sunday Night Football game about Tofu or Touche or whatever that wide receiver's name is, how he reacted to Aaron Rodgers getting, you know, scrambling out of the pocket. And he said that's what Aaron Rodgers needs, is a guy who can read his mind and know when he needs, you know, a safety valve. And and the kid made a touchdown catch on a play, and I think the announcer was actually right for once, and I thought that was a really good point. And Aaron Rodgers started playing so much better when he started, what I say last week, just run the ball. You've got two incredible running backs, and secondarily, watching the game, when he's got that Joe Burrow thing, or I guess I should say Joe has the Aaron thing, where they want to be that pocket passer. Sometimes you got to move your ass. And once Aaron Rodgers started doing that in the second half, they started moving the ball against the Buffalo Bills. So anyway, yeah, on to you, Brad.
Packers, I think we're at the all-time ultimate buy-low spot for them and under the Aaron Rodgers regime, so to speak. They've lost four in a row. They were going to lose four in a row against the spread as well until they got the backdoor cover last week. But this Detroit team, you talk about coaches on the hot seat, this Campbell should be on the hot seat. I don't think he's a good coach. The reason why everybody loved him early was HBO Hard Knocks.
He's a good motivator. Like last year, he was a good motivator. Doesn't mean he was a good coach.
Exactly. Right. Could not have said it better myself. I'm taking the Packers to lay the points here. I'll lay the 3.5 with the Packers. Next game. Let's go down to the ATL. Marcus Mariota and the Falcons. 3.5-point underdogs at home to the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Total 49.5, Beer Man.
Chargers on bye last week. They were, weren't they?
Yes.
Yep.
Extra rest. Atlanta had an emotional win. I'll take the Chargers in this one.
It's about all the commentary you need, really, isn't it? I mean, but it almost seems too logical. I've this year I've had to like adjust the way I look at games. I used to be more of a contrarian, and now I'm finding that's not paying off for me that as much this year. Sometimes, you know, your logical assessment really is the way the game plays out, and that seems to be happening a lot more this year. It seems too logical to me to take the Chargers, but at the same time, I agree. Coming off the bye, they're getting healthier. Bosa, I don't know. Keenan Allen, don't know. Justin Herbert, he's had an extra week of rest, and he got really banged up in that Kansas City game. I just can't help but take the better team here, and that's the Kansas. That's the Los Angeles Chargers.
Atlanta is 4-4, but they're 29th in yards per play margin. They started the year 6-0 against the spread. They've lost the last two. Those are the kind of the teams you like to fade going forward. I want to take the Chargers and lay the points here and go with that one. I would also kind of maybe look to take the under in this one as well, but we'll talk about that maybe a little later on in the best bet segment. Not so sure yet. I got to do a little more research on this one first. Let's go to the next game. Las Vegas and Jacksonville. Derek Carr. A 1.5-point favorite at Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. Dead air, Dennis. Total 48.
Woo! So the Jags are 2-6. The Raiders are 2-5. You know, both of these teams severely underperforming. And I say that because Jacksonville wasn't supposed to be that great this year to begin with. But they did show some promise early on in the season. They put up posted two good wins early on and have gone on to lose, what is it, 4 or 5 now in a row. It's Trevor Lawrence is really struggling, and I don't know, not really sure what could be going through his mind or Coach Peterson's mind, but they just keep getting him in trouble. He's got a great running back. How do you have a running back put up 250 yards rushing and still lose the ball game? They're giving him away late, too, which is another concern. But, you know, the Raiders are 0-4 on the road. They didn't score any points last week. I think the Raiders bounce back big this week and take care of business. They're the better team anyway, let's face it.
I kind of agree with you on that one. Jacksonville, you keep thinking that they're going to get better. And so far, they're really not. It's kind of odd. Now, you shipped one of your running backs, so it all falls on Etienne now. You know, people are starting to talk Fields may be the best quarterback now out of that class. And
who's
not
that?
Justin Fields and not Trevor Lawrence.
He's a quarterback for who?
For Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay.
Bear down.
Not biased at all. You know.
Yeah.
Well, biased commentary. No, we never have that on the
show. I had to slip that in somewhere.
Of course you did.
But I don't know. Jacksonville should be better. Vegas should be better. I wouldn't bet on this game for not even with a teaser. I'm going to take the underdog in this game because they're at home. I don't feel good about it, but I'll take Jacksonville.
The teaser is the only way I would play this game.
I was going to say the teaser I like.
Yeah, the Jacksonville taking up through the 8, the 3, and the 7. That would be the only way I go. I'm going to lay the points in the Raiders here, but I'm not going to play this game. I'll tell you right now, I am not playing this game either side. You might want to look to take under the total here, 48 or excuse, yeah, whatever it is.
Is it 48?
Is it 48?
48.
Wow. I would definitely play the under.
That is, well, I think we're looking at two teams that struggle defensively. We saw the Jaguars against Denver last week. Denver's been awful on offense this year, and they lost that game. So,
and how many points did Jacksonville score in that one?
Not enough. Yeah. Not enough, and that's the thing. When we see, and that's the thing, by game time, Denver was favored in that game over Jacksonville because Jacksonville was a favorite. They had been 0-6 as a favorite straight up and against the number going into that game. By the time we got to game time, Denver was a favorite. So, yeah, Jacksonville, every week we hear the Sharps are on Jacksonville. Are they? Are they really on Jacksonville? I'm not so sure. Well, yeah, I'm taking the Raiders in this one.
Raiders win 30-17.
You think it's that big?
Yep.
He's calling the shot, ladies and gentlemen. I'll say 26.
Well, I was going to say, but if I'm sitting here saying take the teaser and you're saying, yeah, you get past the seven, that means you're taking Jacksonville.
That's why I say, well, yeah. He just contradicted.
That's what I'm saying. I feel so unsure about this game, I wouldn't take the teaser because it could easily be a 30-17 game or it could be a 17-16 game.
That is a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Let's go to the 4 o'clock games. The hottest quarterback in the league, Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals at home, 2-point favorite, big 49.5 total in this one. Dennis.
Boy, this is a tough one. Arizona's looked better since the return of DeAndre Hopkins. Rondale Moore had a really good week last week. Kyler Murray has looked better. He's got better options now. I can see a Seattle stumble. And I've been kind of waiting for it and really haven't seen it in a few weeks here. So I'm taking Arizona, but I don't really feel that great about it. Here, man.
Seattle stumbled in week 5 against New Orleans. That's probably the most recent one.
That's true.
There. Arizona, I think we all thought Arizona was going to cover against Minnesota. And they didn't, and they lost late, and they got beat pretty good late. Seattle's figured something out, and I think it's to play simple football. It seems to be working for them, and I'm going to stick with them until they kind of prove me wrong. So I'm gonna go with the Seahawks in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 2 here and and the Seahawks, but another game that I don't feel great about. I will say this. One of my favorite win totals in the preseason was over on Seattle. I think it was 5.5 wins, and they're at 5 right now. So we're sitting pretty on that one. We're not sitting pretty on some other ones, but that one I think we hit. But nobody saw this from Geno Smith. It's crazy. And Pete Carroll, Coach of the Year candidate right now.
On the hot seat, sort of, kind of.
Before the season started, he was top 10 in Vegas, first to be fired, top 10 in Vegas, Coach of the Year. So it's like that was either going to be feast or famine one way or the other. Mm. I'm going to take the Seahawks here, but, yeah, this is not a game to put the college fund on. Let's get to a good, interesting game here. The Rams and Tampa Bay, the new single guy, Tom Brady, against Matthew Stafford, the defending Super Bowl champion quarterback. Bucks 3-point home favorite here, total 42.5. I think we're at the beer man.
Going through a divorce is one of the toughest things that I've ever done in my life. And I don't even think it's that close. I do feel like it's kind of behind Brady. They got the extra rest from the Thursday night game. The Rams have, in my opinion, been more disappointing this year than the Buccaneers have, and that's somewhat saying something. That being said, I do feel like Tampa still thinks the division is theirs to win. And it kind of starts in this one right here. I'll take Brady and the Bucs.
164, that's the number. 164 passing yards to 100,000 for Tom Brady. Does he get it this weekend? It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about your car when you're driving it the new Jeep that you bought 6 years ago, you know, and getting to 100,000 miles. That's passing yards for Tom Brady. It's pretty amazing. I like the Buccaneers in this game. They've showed a few signs of life, and, you know, if it weren't for stepping on their own feet and tripping over their own tails, yeah, they would have won a couple of these recent games, or at least been in the game to begin with. I just seems like an eternity back to week 1 when they beat the Dallas Cowboys 19-3 or whatever that final score was. Give me the Buccaneers here. I just feel like they step up this week.
Mac Daddy Stogie, give me the Rams here. Mm. I don't think they you're going to give me 3.5. The hook will bring you back, as the Blues Traveler once told
me. You got 3.5 on that one?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I wrote down 3.
Three. I apologize. Three.
Damn it.
I apologize. It is 3. I'll still take the 3. And the Rams here in that one. The Rams don't inspire a lot of confidence, obviously, after that game against the Niners a couple weeks ago or last week. But I think you've hit the buy low spot on the Rams just as much as you've hit the buy low spot on the Bucks here. And, yeah, I think Rams beat them in the playoffs last year down there. They're going to do it. They at least keep it close in this one. I'll take the Rams.
They did get Van Jefferson back, so they've got, a little over-the-top action, which they haven't had.
Well, Cooper Kupp is injured, too. Don't forget that. He's going to play, I think. But
Tampa hasn't covered 6 games in a row. Is it going to? And if you talk about win totals, the Bucs were 11.5 before the season started. That means they have to win every game going forward to go over the win total they had out in the desert to start the season. So
yeah,
here we are in week 8, and we're already sitting that. Or week
crazy
9.
Season with the Bays. You know, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, both very similar in their trajectory here with legendary quarterbacks both struggling and looking just utterly confused on the field.
Let's go to Sunday Night Football. Tennessee Titans. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be here. Against Kansas City. In Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs, 12-point home favorites. Total 46.5. I think that the beer man is up.
I was looking for a photo. Who are they playing?
Tennessee and Kansas City.
The line suggests that Ryan Tannehill will not play.
It's 12.5?
I got 12 here.
12. I'm not ready, Dennis, if you are. Sorry.
If Ryan Tannehill plays, you take the points, but it won't be that many points come Sunday when they make the announcement. Otherwise, it's a stay-away game. I mean, the rookie kid, the quarterback, Malik Willis.
Yes.
Did not look good, I don't think, in his official start last week. So, you know, it's just a lot of Derrick Henry at that point. And, you know, I don't know if the kid runs the ball a lot. I haven't analyzed this game much because I don't know really what the outcome is going to be. But, you know, that's a lot of points. And Tennessee historically plays Kansas City very well. I want to say in the last 10 years, Tennessee's taken 6 or 7 of the 10 games. Somewhere, I don't have the stat in front of me, but Tennessee plays them well. So give me Tennessee for the record.
I don't have a feeling on this game whatsoever. I know Kansas City's offense is really good, but I'm not saying it's up and down, but it's unpredictable. You know they're going to score a lot. It's a matter of how many Tennessee is going to score. It feels like I would be like, I'm staying away from this game. This is another one I'm kind of staying away from as far as putting actual money on it. But, Tennessee was the one seed last year. Tennessee's got a decent lead in their division.
Tennessee 6-1.
Yeah. Are they 6-1? I thought they lost 2.
They've lost a couple.
Is it 2 now?
Yeah.
Did I look at the wrong week?
I think you're looking at the wrong week.
Yeah, I'm not laying more than 10 points, so I'm going to take Tennessee begrudgingly.
Titans 5-2. Oh, you're not laying more than 10 points. Oh, in the last 20 years. On this one. I thought
57%. So yeah, exactly. If I go 1-1, I got a shot at hitting the ball.
Exactly. Kansas City's obviously the better team, right?
Yeah. No question.
Better team. I think Titans are fool's gold. They're 26th in the league in yards per play margin. Chiefs off a bye. Better quarterback situation. Of course. I'm taking the Titans. Give me the 12 of the Titans. I don't care if Steve McNair comes back from the grave to be quarterback. That would be good.
What about Warren Moon?
Oh.
Steve McNair's dead?
Warren Moon was the first player I ever drafted in fantasy football in 1990. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yes. And then Thurman Thomas was next. Hall of Famer after – you talk about a fantasy god, even in 1990. Yes.
What does the future look like, Brad? I don't know. Tell us a wise one.
I think the next one was Flipper Anderson was my first receiver. That's a true story. But anyway, let's go to Monday Night Football. Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, 2.5-point favorite down in New Orleans against our old pal Andy Dalton. Total 48.5. I have totally lost track, but I think it's Dennis.
Give me some of that primetime Andy Dalton money. I want it. I want it all. I want you to put
said
it in
by
my...
no one ever.
The Saints defense has gotten better. Marshawn Lattimore might be back for this game. And we might be looking at our, let's see, one, two, three, four, fifth straight Monday Night Football upset. Is it possible? Listen, a lot of crazy things have happened on Monday Night Football these last few weeks. The favorites covered in the first 3 weeks. Why are you pointing at me?
Well, you're pointing at me first.
I'm not a mirror.
Oh.
Wait. Maybe I am.
I feel sorry for you if you are.
I'll take HR Puff and Stuff for $4.50. Beer Man, do you remember the show HR Puff and Stuff?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do a little bit.
Give us your pick, Dylan.
He took New Orleans, didn't you?
Yeah, I want the Saints, man.
Next.
I think those linebackers for the Saints are ready to take the Lamar Jackson challenge, and I think the Saints are going to win that game.
You mean Pat Swilling, Sam Mills?
I'm going to be like the guy on ESPN. Not so fast, my friend. You want to talk about linebackers? Baltimore just got the best one in football. He's not going to know anything.
Willis is back?
Roquan.
Oh.
Roquan.
Mike Singletary. Is he back?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Otis Wilson.
He can't even get a job in football now.
The underrated Wilbur Marshall.
Baltimore got a little bit of a break by Cincinnati losing. They're going to try to put some distance between them and the Bengals. I think they're salivating a little bit in this one, so I'm going to take Baltimore.
That's all it takes? Salivating? Is it?
Well, you know, we've got all kinds of great handicapping angles on this show. Salivation is now number one on my list is cut of their gym. That's my all-time favorite.
It's a thing now.
Exactly. Red Rifle. You're going to give me 2.5 points? I'm taking the Red Rifle. I feel like Jesus. I take them every week. I'm going to take the Saints in this one. Saints, they dominated the Raiders last week. That was a butt-kicking. If you saw the numbers of that game,
yeah,
that was a good game for the Saints. They're still, and they played that game at home. They're still at home on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a spot for the Saints. I'll take them and the 2.5.
Yeah, I think if they protect Andy and Andy doesn't do anything stupid with the ball. Listen, Andy Dalton and the Baltimore Ravens are very familiar with each other, so there's going to be a lot of familiarity out there. No, I'm not saying that favors either side. Probably favors the Ravens more. But
he's
at least
been out of that division for quite some time.
Doesn't matter. At least Andy knows. He's got a heads up from his previous lifetime as a Bengal what the Ravens are all about. I think he benefits from it a little bit. And he's not been bad. I mean, he threw 4 picks in a game a couple of weeks ago. But he was good in that game
He had the Bengals beat a few weeks ago, too.
He did.
He kind of had that game won, and I feel like the Saints have kind of let a couple get away. All right, that's it. That's all the games. Now we get to the award-winning segment here on this show, our best bets. Does anyone volunteer to go first?
I'll go.
Dennis Dillon will go
first. I like
the
New Orleans Saints. I also like the Indianapolis Colts. I like the Chicago Bears.
What?
Attaboy.
And that's it.
Homer. Beer Man, do you need a minute or do you want me
no,
to?
No, I underlined two as we were going along. I like the Cincinnati Bengals coming off the embarrassing loss, fighting back, and I don't care that the line is 7.5. I feel like that's one of my best picks of the week. Green Bay, like you said, I think we're getting them as low as they can possibly be. I absolutely love the Packers in this situation, and I hate the Packers overall. I would have said Baltimore, but y'all freaked me out about both of you taking the Saints.
That should make you feel stronger, actually, to be honest. Go against the public.
That's all I got.
Oh,
those
that's
three.
All you've got?
Those three.
All right. Well, I've got 5 sides I like. Best bets. Give me the Texans. You're going to give me 14 tomorrow night? I'll take the Texans all day. Give me Sam Ehlinger, the rookie quarterback, against the Patriots on the road, getting 5.5. Give me the Commodes. Give me Washington, getting the 3.5 at home. They have a new attitude now that they got a new owner coming in. Give me the Jets getting 12.5 at home. Because in the last 20 years, well, we don't need to go over that again. And give me the Rams getting a field goal on the road against Tampa. Those are my favorite sides. I love the unders. Philly, Houston Thursday night. Miami, Chicago on Sunday. And Rams, Tampa. I think that'll be a defensive game too. Those are my 3 favorite totals of the week. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our best bets for the week of college and NFL football with college not existing on this show.
So to recap, all three of us picked Houston. All three of us picked Green Bay. All three of us picked the Chargers. All three of us picked Tennessee.
Got it.
Bad news for all those teams you just named right there.
Live from Lexington, Kentucky.
No parting shots? You have no parting shots?
Oh, suck it, Stivers.
Well, we're getting to that in just a second. I just wanted to say, if anything else before we sign off, I want to give you guys the floor here.
I don't really have anything else to add.
I'm just trying to get back to 500.
Then hit it, Dead Air, Dennis Dillon.
Live from Lexington, Kentucky, this has been Week 9, The Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast, available on platforms such as
WLXG.com.
Our website.
Classic Rock 92.1.
Other places where you get your podcast, like, you know, the one Apple, you're listening to right now.
Apple, Spotify, and some others that I do not know off the top of my head.
For Brad Taylor and Beer Man, my name is Dead Air Dennis. Sucker Starvers.
Sucker Starvers.
Thanks so much for listening. Until the next time, ladies and gentlemen.
May the winners be yours.
Suck it, Stivers.
I took your line.
Obviously, you're not participating.
We already said suck it, Stivers.
You can't say it enough.
Suck it, Stivers. I'm still gambling.
And take Epicenter in the Breeders' Cup.
That was what? Okay, let's guess the time.
Epicenter, Breeders' Cup.
I looked earlier.
I was going to say.
May the winners be yours.